San Clemente.
I'll tell you, it's a lot different being over there than it is being right here. Yeah, so I have to warn you, my story has very little to do with alcohol and a lot to do with substances. I am a specialist. So I come from Redding, and I started off, I would say, Redding, California. I started off my addiction in seventh grade. I started drinking. And I was a blackout drinker. I drank a few times, and a couple times I did blackout, wake up in places I didn't know where I was, and bloody and a mess. And then that quickly turned into addiction. The summer of eighth grade, I started using heroin. I guess it would have to probably be because if I wasn't in an environment where it would be all alcohol, I would probably likely be. Been alcohol, but where I lived, people did meth and heroin. So I started off eighth grade graduation using needles, and by the time I got into high school, I was 100% shot out. By the time I finished high school, you could find me in the bathroom looking for a vein. I mean, that's where I would be most of the time, locked up in a bathroom. And then that moved on. I went to juvenile hall a lot, and I spent all my high school years in probation school. It was my life was a mess before I even became an adult, could make decisions on my own. Let's see here. I went to when I finally became an adult, I moved from juvenile probation to adult probation, and then I spent the next 4 years using. And I got into a lot of trouble. I was in and out of jail, and I was building up a lot of felony charges, so I decided to run. I ran from California, and I got on a sales crew that took me around the United States, and I got clean there. I did. I learned how to do life a little bit. I used off and on, but I wasn't a full-blown addict. I met a girl on that sales crew after the third year on it, and we decided that we were in love, and we wanted to get married, and we ran away. We ran to St. Louis. And she had this idea, right? She wanted to be a stripper, and I didn't want that. You know, of course, I was like, no, I'm okay. But just like in my addiction, if anything got in the way of it, I discarded meetings, and I was just full bore. I was all about me and selfishness. And like her, I got discarded, right? She left me after a week of being there, and she was a stripper. She achieved her dreams. So I thought it was a good idea. I thought it was a good idea to attend that strip club. I went there in the with the aims of acquiring one of her friends. So I did. I hooked up with one of her friends, and oh man, it's crazy that the very first night that I went there and I seen her. She walked in her stilettos, trying to go downstairs. One of her heels broke, and she fell down a flight of stairs. It was like instant karma. She had a bone sticking out of her leg. It was horrible. I feel bad for her. But I still went home with her friend. And we had a kid together. Me and her had a kid together. She stopped working there, her friend did. And she moved in with me. Because at this time I started after a little bit of time. I got into Carpenters Union and learned some life skills there, and that's what I'm using today in sobriety. But anyways, we had a kid together, and this girl was awesome. We spent the whole time she was pregnant. She moved in with me, and then I went to the hospital with her when she had Austin. And the moment that Austin was taken out of the room, she had a friend bring her a bottle over. And this is my real first experience with alcoholism, was she was drunk before our son came back into the room, and we could name him. She was already drunk, wasted. So I named him, and we went home together, and I spent 2 years with extreme violent alcoholism. She was the worst, I mean, beyond any kind of drug addict. I mean, it was horrible. So after dealing with that 2 years, I left. I abandoned my son, and it broke my heart, but I had to. There was no way around it. I had to leave, and I came out here, and that was a bad move too, because I just fell right into the same rut I was in 15 years prior. And it turned quickly up far worse than it was before I left. Way worse. I spent the next 10 years trying to juggle a life, a professional life, and life of a drug addict and a criminal. I would go to work during the day and bust my ass, and then at night I would be seen robbing people, robbing stores, just to support my addiction. I literally got rid of anything that would cost me money or cause me to be responsible. I discarded that, and I was just solely living to su support my addiction. The money I made from work and from all the criminal life wasn't near enough. I was tanking really quick, and then so and I overdosed a lot of times too, because fentanyl started coming around. It was about before I found my way to the program, probably like 8 months before I found my way to the program. I got on a job. My dad gave me a employed me. I mean, I was surprised he actually stuck his neck out for me, but he hooked me up with a job, and we were buying and selling propane tanks for AmeriGas, and we would go out of town, pick up these tanks, and leave and come back. And so I was kind of sick at this time, and I wanted to get well, so I went to the bathroom where the driver was waiting for me, like a mile down the road. And I sat down on the toilet, and I smoked some of this drug that had fentanyl on it. And I woke up on the toilet. It was like, I don't know how long I'd been there, but I was deaf. I couldn't hear nothing. I was deaf. And so I got up and I looked into the mirror, and I couldn't even recognize myself. I was blue. There's no way to describe it. I was like, looked like a smurf. I was blue. And so I know I've seen lots of people overdose, and when they overdose, it's just like, all the blood starts pumping, and they turn blue, and then they die, right? Because they can't breathe. And I know that's what happened to me on that toilet. I know I was dead. And then when my hearing started to come back, and I just started hearing this loud bang. It was people trying to get into the bathroom. I think that's what woke me up. I'm not sure, but normally people don't come out of that. They die. So I'm like, and I've seen people that been too long in that, and they kind of wake up, they have speech impediments, or they can't recognize people. And I'm checking myself, making sure I'm not, like incapable. I was thinking I was like gonna come out of that retarded, because you have no idea, But I was fine. I walked through the doors, and there had been like 40 people trying to get me that bathroom. It was like demoralizing walking through all those people looking like that. But I made it back to the truck, and thank God the driver was sleeping and didn't realize how long I'd been gone. And that's just one overdose story, but that's one of the things that woke me up to this. And I decided to get some help. And so I did. I called around, I got into rehab, and I thought I was gonna be down here for 60 days, 90 days max. And I fell in love with the program. I came here. This is actually my home group. I came here, and this is an incredible meeting. They always have really good speakers. I want to thank Trevor, wherever he is, for calling me today. You may have just ruined the track record of great speakers. But thank you anyways. Anyways, so I came down here, and I got sober with the intent on going back. I have a girlfriend and a family. I didn't tell nobody that I came down here, because anytime I talk about something, I speak it right out of existence. So I just said, I'm not going to tell nobody. I'm just going to come here and get it done and then come back. But I fell in love with the program, and I stayed. It's been 10 months. I can't say 11 months, all the way. I got 11 months and 3 days. My sponsor says I have to say 10 months. So I have 10 months. Right? Can't round up. But I only got a minute left, so I guess I'll just say to the newcomers that are here, what my life in just 10 months, my life has become incredible. I came down here with nothing, but with a backpack with some clothes. And today, in just 10 months' time, I have my own vehicle. I have an incredible job. I have a huge support group of people around me that love me, want to see me do good. And I have a future. I have a future in sobriety, and I love my sobriety. I have fun in sobriety. It's really good. And it's confusing when you're in rehab because you're in this pink cloud, is what they call it, right? You're on a pink cloud. And then once that's gone, you hit a wall, I think is what they call it. And it's so real. It really is, because you're in rehab and you're having a good time. But when you get out, you got to deal with life. And my suggestion is, when you get out of rehab, make sure that you're on your fourth step. You want to get that done quick. You want to get that done. And then you want to get, so you can get to working on your amends process and get free of the disease. But thank you guys.
That's not bad. Thank you, Sam, for being a great open speaker. We will close the opening part of this meeting with the secretary's report.